Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bring up, are the 49ers taking too many chances on players with a previous injury history?
Well, that was always their thing where they would draft guys who had had ACL reconstructions. And, you know, if you just look at injuries right now, Trent Williams, he kind of fits all of these factors. He does have a previous injury history. He does have an increased age.
Sure.
A lot of years of playing. Artificial surfaces, maybe not so much, but George Kittle, same thing. He's got an injury history, and now he's quietly getting up there in age a little bit. So I think a lot of these factors do play into what the Niners are going through.
It's all sponsored by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. How about somebody who's done all of this stuff, okay? Reading defenses, playing NFL football, getting injured, throwing the ball, all of that stuff, and now breaking it down on the QB school. It's JT O'Sullivan on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, man, how you doing?
Fellas, what's going on? I was never fortunate enough to get very injured, so walked away from that part of it. Nice, but man, it sure has hit the 49ers hard, it seems.
Well, yeah. Is there something we can take from that, by the way? What's your expert opinion? Can we ever look at a system, a team, a process, and blame injuries on something going on with the team?
I think that there probably is some level of variable to that, but unless the building, you know, I'm not sure you would ever get a complete kind of snapshot of what the workload looks like, what they're being asked to do, what the, you know, rehab, prehab, training, strength, all that type of stuff looks like as a comprehensive program. But yeah, I think if there's a place with a long history of seemingly significant or substantial injuries, you almost have to look at whatever the procedures and systems are in the building.
And the Niners have been near the top of most injured teams over the past few years. This year, the biggest injury, the Trey Lance injury, which has given rise to Jimmy Garoppolo back as the starting quarterback. What have you made of Jimmy G and his next and latest tenure as the Niner quarterback, most notably the way he played on Sunday night?
Well, I mean, I think everybody's going to be a little frustrated walking away from that game, to say the least. I think when you go back and actually watch the All-22, like most situations, it's probably a little bit better than you would have guessed. Now, it doesn't mean that it's good, but I think that the performance had some flashes, probably that y'all are used to with Garoppolo, but certainly some head-scratchers that really seem to turn the tide. But, you know, And I think it's fair to acknowledge that Garoppolo has to play better. I think it's also fair to paint the full context of coming back from an injury, not getting, you know, training camp work, all of those excuses, but also add that everybody around him didn't seem to play very well. And I'm talking from the top down, from the play caller to the offensive execution, to the pass protection, to injuries around him, maybe not allowing him to flourish and throw the ball where he wants. So it can be everything. And, you know, playing quarterback, you're going to get, you know, the heap of the credit and take the majority of the blame as well. So that's just part of the ride.
JT, everybody is very focused on the play calling. So I'd love to know what you saw there. What was lacking on that front?
Well, you know, it's one of those things for me. It's almost like a chicken or an egg type thing. So we're either not calling certain sorts of field vertically at some level. You know, to me, I think of the big shots in that game were almost like, you know, Juszczyk on the sideline with a great kind of toe tap. You know, but I'm talking about just getting people off of us so that it doesn't feel like they're sitting on all of our routes in the passing game. Now, we're either not calling that because we can't throw it, and we've established that we can't do that, or we don't have the perimeter weapons to create space. There also wasn't a lot of space, even on plays where you think, man, we got to go out there and beat some one-on-one coverage. There aren't a bunch of winners when you turn on the film, and he's just turning down winners. Now, did he hit every open receiver? No, absolutely not. But it can be both of those things. So for me, I'd want to see some double moves on the perimeter. I'd want to see some blocked up shots. You know, I think that it feels like they're, you know, Kittle is certainly dealing with an injury, but he's not stretching the middle of the field either. And so when you get all those things together and then you have a left tackle injury that probably results in a few sacks over the course, pressures over the course of the game, well, now everything is hard. And that's just what it felt like. It felt like everything was harder than it had to be.
With an offensive line that is really a little bit beleaguered, you mentioned the Trent Williams injury, but the idea of blocked up shots, I love, and you're talking about maybe keeping seven in the block and throwing just two into the pattern and really taking deep shots down the field. Is that something that you think that they can do with an offensive line that has struggled?
I mean, I think that's what you have to do. And I think they, it's not that they didn't do that. It's just when you do that, you have to hit. I think there was, in the second half of the game, there was a third and forever, like a third and 18. And they did that. They blocked up both edges. They ran double post and an over. And Garoppolo just misses the over. So, I mean, you know, it's got to be both of those things working together. But for me, like the blocked up, you know, one of the plays that certainly will get a significant amount of attention is just the Orlovsky kind of lucky safety, no pick six situation. For me, you know, that's obviously on Garoppolo to know where the hell he is on the field. But if you're the play caller, that play, he's taking a shot there by running essentially what most people in the league call it, that a leak play, where you run that tight end on the fake shallow and then up the other side that the 49ers have used forever. Well, that's a big, heavy ask to ask down there because it does take a lot of time to develop. You do have to take a deep drop. So is he hanging him out to dry? Maybe a little bit,
yeah.
You know, but it's still on Garoppolo not to panic and do the safety and the whole Orlovsky thing.
So, yeah, I wanted to
die. The whole Orlovsky, like, that's so funny.
Yeah, the full Monty or the full Orlovsky.
Totally.
Yeah, I wanted your opinion on that play, and it sounds like you're saying plenty of blame to go around, Shanahan and Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the majority of it is on Jimmy. But as someone who's called plays, you have to be able to also don't want to feel like I'm talking out the side of my mouth saying, hey, we need to block it up and take a shot. Well, that's kind of what they're doing there. Now, you're kind of, it's not as traditional as I would love as far as just a perimeter double move, one-on-one on a corner. It's kind of like a trick them. But we're blocking them up, taking a shot. But it feels like those types of gimmicky plays, you know, sometimes did they drop back and throw a go ball besides for the one that Garoppolo put in the first row, you know, threw it out of bounds, a never in history ball? You know, those types of When you call a shot and your quarterback throws it outside the white of the sideline, you know, that's a bad feeling as a play caller. So I get why you're not doing a lot of it, and I can, you know, you can feel the frustration between those two, but man, it just feels like.
Let's see if we can get JT back. This has been a little bit in and out, and it's kind of like the Jimmy Kyle relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it had been, you know, a little bit in and out.
Your phone line sucks,
mostly,
man.
Good. 70% of the time it was good. 30% of the time it was a little shaky. And then finally, after a while, the two sides just decided to break up.
Yeah.
But then get back together.
Hopefully we can get back together with JT momentarily. I do have a question about it.
Yeah.
Well, and he was doing a deep dive on Jalen Hurts.
Want to get into that for sure.
I wanted to use his deep dive on Jalen Hurts to ask about the development or lack of development on Jimmy G.
For sure. And I also want to get into what is the importance and the norm in a quarterback head coach relationship. Because
right.
I think you and I both, we have both sort of got the feeling right now that this relationship between Jimmy and Kyle is very different than what it has been in the past.
Definitely.
We're now starting to put puzzle pieces together. We don't have a big sample, but here's what we've got. We've got after the Seattle game, Jimmy publicly stating, yeah, like I got to just go throw the ball around, which I haven't really gotten to do since 2017 because we don't do that around here. And then the very next week, you get a highly unsuccessful game, and you get a podium situation where after running out of the back of the end zone, you agree, as Kyle did, I was put in a, quote, tough situation. And now you get today's video going viral on social media where it appears on some level he's saying the plays suck, man. Jimmy is, as he's walking off the field.
And JT was making a great call and a really good analysis of that play, the ill-fated safety where it's a leak play where basically the tight end leaks out into the flat and then the tight end goes deeper down the field, and it's a play that requires the quarterback to take a deep drop to allow it to develop. You don't often find slow developing plays when you're backed up against your own goal line.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's why Kyle took the blame. That's probably what was in the back of Jimmy's mind, even though he didn't want to say it. He just kept, he said twice, yeah, it's a tough situation. Tough situation. But I'm glad JT said what he said, because I'm sure quarterbacks have been put in tough situations in their end zone repeatedly through the history of the NFL.
Right.
Only twice has the quarterback decided to run out of the back of the end zone.
Pulled an Orlovsky.
Well, by the way,
which is harsh.
By the way, go back, because I bet there are a lot of people watching who are like, I didn't see the Orlovsky. Go watch the Orlovsky.
It's hilarious.
It's way worse than what Jimmy did.
Way worse.
It's like,
he takes about 14 steps out of the back of the end zone.
Not only is he so far, I mean, he's so out of the back of the end zone, he then takes off on a rollout to the right.
He's trying to buy time.
He's like, man, we're going to find somebody if I roll out to the right. The defense just stops. It's not like, oops, I accidentally stepped on the white line. It's like, no, both feet are about 3 yards out of the back of the end zone. JT, we're just talking about how we're glad that you sort of phrased it the way you did.
He pulled Norlovsky.
JT O'Sullivan is back. Like, I get Kyle Shanahan put Jimmy in a difficult situation, but that does not mean that you know, quarterbacks are put in difficult situations all the time. You can't lose awareness to the point where you walk out of the back of the end zone.
No, you certainly can't. But I mean, it's one of those things where not only is that a rough play call for me, but you also take an L at right guard and right tackle right in front of you. And so, and I think the thing that makes that play the worst is that really the safety was lucky. You know, how rare, you know, how awkward is that? That you're like, thank God it was only a safety. And so it's at that point, it felt like a comedy of errors.
It was a complete comedy of errors. And it's one of those plays where fortunately he stepped out, because it would have been a pick six. It seems like, JT, that Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't gotten a lot better from when he started in 2017 till now. Where does the responsibility for quarterback improvement fall?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, it falls on Garoppolo, but then it falls on the entire building. And, you know, if you have an offensive head coach and play call, that's going to be part of that process as well. So it's a collective effort. But for me, you know, at this point, everybody knows what Jimmy Garoppolo is, right? Like, I mean, I don't think you can be upset that he's not stretching the field vertically, or he's not necessarily pulling the trigger on throws outside the numbers. And so being able to... Yeah. And really, do we even know what he is? Because he's coming back from an injury. I mean, I think it's still kind of to determine what exactly he is at this moment in his career. And so being able to evolve and change, but be dynamic enough to take advantage of the playmakers. But I mean, just the array of this, the kind of array that, like, everything that could did go wrong.
Yeah. JT, we're going to reconnect with you sometime soon. Appreciate it so much. The phone just not letting us get enough of what he's saying, and it's a bummer too. JT, thank you so much. If you can even still hear us, really wanted to get to some of the Jalen Hurts questions.
Yeah.
I can pass along because I've watched his video, and I'll just sort of do a little bit of a synopsis of what he said about Jalen Hurts, which is fascinating. A, he said, if you're an Eagle fan, you got to be really, really excited, because on one front, this guy, I mean, I'm glad you just asked about quarterback improvement.
Right.
This guy is doing what we, A, would have hoped Jimmy did, and B, we're hoping Trey is about to do, which is that, remember, Jalen Hurts did not come in and was not given a starting job. Jalen was not expected to be the franchise. He worked his way into it, and even when the Eagles moved off of Carson Wentz, there were plenty of people that are like, yeah, is Jalen the guy, or is this kind of just going to be a placeholder for a little bit? Well, it is defined now. This is that dude. And JT says, oh, he's not even done getting better.
Right.
There's more out there for him. This is someone who has the arm talent, someone who has the leg talent. This is someone who has the cerebral talent, and it's going to keep going. What I really wanted to ask him, because I know that this is relevant for a lot of us with what we've experienced the last 2 years, I watched a lot of Eagle ball the last 3 weeks, and Jalen is by far and away leading the NFL in quarterback runs.
Yep.
Many of them designed, many of them up the middle.
A lot of zone read.
Many of them in the red zone. And you know, people, oh, he's got bigger legs than Trey. I get it. He's actually a smaller person, though. But they are doing successfully in Philadelphia, at least what the 49ers were trying to do.
Yes, for the most part. I haven't seen a lot of Jalen Hurts running, quote, QB power, but that's just, you know, that's just play calling and semantics. What Jalen Hurts is doing a lot of is what Trey Lance is doing a lot of, zone read. Either give it to the running back or keep it yourself. Jalen Hurts is finding gigantic seams, in part because he does something that Trey Lance was not able to do, and that's throw the ball, and that's throw it vertically. So when you have a quarterback who is a threat to throw the ball down the field, the defense is going to be more stretched out. Trey Lance was not given the opportunity to throw the ball, so the safeties were able to cheat closer to the line of scrimmage. Therefore, Trey Lance had more bodies to deal with when he actually ran the ball. The biggest piece in all of this, and this is where I think Jalen Hurts is a much better comp for Trey Lance and his upside, better than Josh Allen, certainly better than Lamar Jackson. Trey Lance, or rather Jalen Hurts, has gotten a lot better.
Yep.
His first year, 56% completion. He wasn't accurate. He didn't look like he was going to be a starter, to your point. And then 61%. This year, 67%. And obviously, he had more high-level D1 experience than Trey Lance does. But this is the trajectory you're hoping for when you talk about Trey Lance. And this year has been taken from Trey Lance due to injury.
Which is huge. Yeah, as far as Jalen is concerned, and I know we want to do this, is Trey Josh Allen? Is he Mahomes? Is he Hurts? No, he's Trey.
Yeah.
But here's where I will compare it. And by the way, see a lot of the stuff coming through on YouTube about this. RJ Money just said, is Hurts going up the gut? Yes. Yes, he is. Watch the Eagles play. If Kyle had said that rather than watch the Bills, I actually think that would have been a less controversial statement. Jalen is running more than Josh. Yes, he's running more physically than Josh. He is running up the middle and doing it with a very, very high level of success. To me, I compare the situations and what you just said. The arc of Jalen's career is what we want to see for Trey. We want to see you quickly show that you can get better. And the Eagles as a whole, actually, to me, look like what the 49ers are trying to do. If you think about Jalen Hurts, okay, you got a quarterback who is going to use his legs a lot. They're going to use a lot of read option, zone read, all of that. What did you do in the offseason? You paid a receiver, A.J. Brown. Same agent, Deebo Samuel. Oh, but do you also have a speedier, good route running, smaller second receiver, Devontae Smith, Brandon Ayuk? Okay, what about your tight end, Dallas Goedert, George Kittle? What the Eagles have that the 49ers don't right now, couple of things. One, their quarterback's healthy. Two, he's more years in the system. Three, they're getting better play from their offensive line. And look at the results. They look fantastic. Right now, if I'm doing a power ranking and I'm solely talking about the look of a team,
look,
it's the Eagles, man. Like, I know the Bills at their height have looked the best, but they had a dog.
NFC-wise, you could easily NFC, say Philadelphia looks no to be the question. Best team in the NFC
most
right now.
Most balanced, most got answers at every position. Their defense is messing with people. Darius Slay took Justin Jefferson out of a game. I mean, they have got a lot, and they are, like, if you just look at the way they conceptualize that team, I think it's very similar to what the 49ers are trying to do.
And many on the YouTube chat saying they have a better coach than the 49ers, which you conveniently left out of the conversation. And right now you look better at 3-0 than you do at 1-2.
How many people on YouTube could even name the Eagles coach?
The biggest piece of this, though, is the fact that Jalen Hurts has gotten a lot better, and Trey Lance now will be 2 years down in his five-year contract if you pick up his fifth-year option, which I thought that that was going to be a no-brainer. Now, all of a sudden, it's not a no-brainer for Trey Lance because next year is the prove-it year.
You got to play. Yeah,
exactly.
We haven't seen you play.
But the fact that Jalen Hurts now in his third year, this is his prove-it year, and he is quietly an MVP candidate. If you were to give out the three-game MVP, it would be Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe Mahomes gets a chance, but honestly, Jalen Hurts is either number one or number two.
Lamar. It's those three. It's Josh.
Fair enough, yeah.
It's Josh, Lamar, and Jalen right
but
now.
But to that point,
3 weeks in.
In his third year, the 3 week MVP, the week three, the MV3 award, it might be Jalen Hurts, but.
Might be.
To that point, in his third year, this is a huge year. If he continues on this trajectory at the end of this year, they probably try to extend it.
Oh, gosh. Jalen Hurts is going to get that bag.
Major bag alert.
Absolutely. Although,
he could pull a Lamar and say, I'll wait.
Well, I mean, it depends on how the Eagles want to play this.
Right.
The quarterback, I mean, just a quick aside, the whole quarterback contractual thing in the NFL right now is sideways because of Deshaun Watson. And so what you have is a little bit of a standoff, and Lamar Jackson just happens to be the poster guy for this, partially because he's his own agent, partially because he's just the next one that's supposed to get an extension. But Lamar's going to be the poster guy for this because owners, GMs around the league are mad at the Browns for what they did with Deshaun Watson, going all guaranteed, especially at a time where there are so many questions about Watson. He hasn't started a football game in a year and a half, if not more, almost 2 years since Deshaun Watson has played football. So if you hand out $250 million guaranteed to Deshaun Watson and you're Lamar Jackson, how on earth do you not walk into the Ravens and go, well, he got that, and I definitely get more, so mine's guaranteed and higher. Because look what I'm doing while what he's been doing. He's been getting massages for the last 2 years. I've been winning football games. Like, easy. Like, easy you owe me more. And the Ravens are like, yeah, but the Browns messed up. And Lamar's like, too bad.
Right. He wants $275 guaranteed.
Right. And so you have seen a couple quarterbacks take little less. They did not force the full guarantee. Their names are Russell Wilson, much older.
Yeah.
By the way, doesn't look very good. And Kyler Murray, also not as good, and side questions about are you even watching film? So that's what's going on. And Jalen Hurts, after Lamar Jackson, yeah, he's going to be one of the next guys that gets into this conversation. It's going to be fascinating to see who sort of wins that standoff.
And who blinks first, because you're right about the Deshaun Watson contract. And even before that, when Kirk Cousins, a smaller number, but when he got a fully guaranteed deal, that kind of set this whole thing into a new light. But you're right about the Browns giving Deshaun Watson that massive haul. And, you know, we don't know if Deshaun Watson is going to be the same player he was or how quickly he can be that same player as he was early in his career. But you draft these guys and you're in a spot. Kyler Murray is a perfect example. You can't afford to pay these guys, but you can't afford not to pay these guys. And that's where the Cowboys with Dak Prescott, you're in the same spot.
Yep.
Where, you know, Dak was just good enough to command that extension, but you don't want to pay him that much. And now Dak's been hurt a couple times and you have a backup who might be outplaying him when Dak gets back, and yet you have all this money invested in Dak, and now you've got a real conundrum.
888-957-9570. You can absolutely weigh in on the lines. Comcast Business Text Line, YouTube, and Twitch. We're keeping the chat going there, connecting with you every single possible way that we can. Brian Baldinger weighs in on Jimmy Garoppolo's decision-making. So we'll get to that.
Data Chips. Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, glad you're with us. It's Willard and Dibs. Steiny and Gulum, less than a half hour away. So get on over to YouTube and Twitch, because that's always fun on the change over. Am I right? So here's kind of my point. You and I look at it different, and that's fine. It doesn't really matter how you look at it. Is Jimmy the starter or is Jimmy the backup? To me, here's why it's relevant. You and I started off this show talking about the fact that Jimmy appears to be different. He appears to be bucking a little bit. He is not just going to be the good soldier. He's not going to just go do what Kyle tells him to do. He's going to go to a podium and say, hey, 2017 was fun. Wasn't that fun? Remember when I could just run around and make plays? That's kind of what it was like against Seattle. Maybe we should do that more. And they follow that up with Sunday Night Football, 10 points, and just a gross performance by everybody involved. And now we got a video of him saying, plays suck, man, as he walks off the field. What this says to me, you can call him the starter, I can call him the backup. Jimmy does not feel like he has been given the backing of the organization, and he hasn't been. And so that's why it's relevant right now, because this, we're starting to see what could be the whole thing gone wrong if Jimmy is in effect playing with a different angry streak, feeling like they should be doing something different on offense that they're doing. He's thinking more about the contract that I'm going to get next year, who I'm playing for next year, than he is about this. That's what's relevant to me. I mean, I think we can agree on that, right? Jimmy does not feel like the organization is like, yes, we are all in on Jimmy, because they're not.
Right, and I wonder, and I don't disagree with anything you just said, but I wonder how long has this been going on, if I may quote the old 70s tune, because it didn't just happen in this one game where all of a sudden now he thinks your plays suck, man. That didn't just happen in the span of one game, one quarter, one drive, one evening in Denver. This has all been built up and pent up. And you mentioned it from the press conference after Seattle. It was really fun to just go out there and throw it around. And, you know, it's like riding a bike, and it was all the joy. And he's now, I think, sharing his feelings and emotions much more than he previously did, because now he knows he's got nothing to lose. No matter what happens this year, Trey Lance is the starting quarterback again, and Jimmy Garoppolo is gone again. And Jimmy also knows that the best way for him to go out and get that bag alert, that major bag alert, is for him to win, but also to showcase that he's healthy and he's able to cut it loose and make all the throws and see the field and all the rest of it. So when it goes bad, when you lose a game like you did in Denver 11-10, your frustration is going to start to show more. And so I think that when I see him mouth those words and the way you laid it out, it made me think, how long has he felt this way? Because it's not like Kyle Shanahan all of a sudden has squeezed the play calling down to where now his plays suck. His plays have always been this way.
We've always wondered aloud. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo has got to feel a certain way behind closed doors. And in fact, admit it, every single one of us has been amazed that at some point this guy didn't go full Baker. Right? I mean, we made this comparison last year. Baker Mayfield dealt with what Jimmy has dealt with for 24 hours and lost it on Twitter. 24 hours. Jimmy's been dealing with it for 2 years.
For longer, yeah.
2 years, and he's still sitting there smiling. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, we got Rams, and I mean, we just, you know, it was a tough situation.
Right.
And
he's been a good soldier ever since they called him and said, hey, but, like, we're trading 3 picks to get your replacement.
Right.
Ever since then, he's been great, at least, you know, outwardly. He's never once grumbled, groused, pouted, or leaked information that he's unhappy. He's been a good soldier.
Yeah, to the point where sometimes we want to poke him.
Right. Like, are you alive?
Are you there? Like, you're mad, right? Like, you should be mad. And so I think, yeah, he finally is. And I chuckled when you were talking, because I've shared this story with you before. It just keeps making me think, and I've only done this once in my life, and it was a stupid waiting tables job. It doesn't matter. But right out of college, I'm waiting tables. And when I finally got a job to go be a broadcaster in Idaho with the Hawks when I was doing minor league baseball, I was leaving the job. And
see ya.
except for doing see ya. I'm like, you know what? It's my last day. Gosh, I'm watching all my friends here who I work with are complaining about the boss because she was mean to people. She was just mean. It's like, fine, you can be the boss. You can be a disciplinarian. You're mean. And so I just walked upstairs on my way out, and I'm like, so nobody likes you.
And you unloaded?
And you're mean.
Mark Willard?
And those are my friends, and I don't work here anymore, but you should be nicer with the way that you treat people.
Look at you.
Because sometimes you're borderline verbally abusive. And I left. And I was like, man,
Whew, you don't do that.
I feel good about myself. I drove home good. With the window down and the music loud. Until I found out about 2 days later that my friends who still work there are like, yeah, thanks a lot, dude. Because now we're all having to go upstairs and do interviews because we're being asked if anybody's going to launch a lawsuit because of verbal abuse.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Way to go, dude.
Yeah.
So I learned my lesson there. But my
up in 15 minutes, I confront somebody who snitched on me.
My point is that
lay off.
If Jimmy feels like he's on his way out the door, he's going to speak more. Because as you just put it,
yeah,
nothing to lose.
Right. But now Kittle and Ayuk and Debo are going to have to go into Kyle's office and say, you know, Kyle's going to ask him, hey, Debo, sit down. Do you really think my plays, do they suck and stuff?
Not going to say it that way. So be like, if I see you on camera one more time questioning my plays, I got this guy. He's super purdy. He's real purdy sitting right over. You think you're purdy? He's purdy. And he's going to play if I see you do that in front of a camera again.
I think that he's going to bring in, I mean, much like your analogy about, not analogy, your story, though, about leaving and, you know, filleting the boss. Once Jimmy leaves, Kyle's going to call all of them in and ask him, hey, guys, you know, do my plays really suck? Or was they, I mean, was Mark wrong about me being a bully? Let me interview you.
Do you guys like my plays and stuff? Totally. I mean, like, yeah. Let's go to Rob in San Bruno. Hey, Rob, you're on Willard and Dibs. What are you doing, Rob?
Just rolling around San Mateo. But, look, man, we don't care about feelings, you know. At the end of the day, this is a business. This is being greater players, Hall of Fame players who were traded and let go by Niners, who did more than what Jimmy did for the Niners, Hall of Fame type guys. We can name them. So at the end of the day, it's about going out there and playing better.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The plays were there for you to hit. You didn't hit them. You got to crawl before you walk. Don't be acting be big dog when you can't complete the little dog play. So make the plays that are there, then complain. Because you can't complain about the play calling when you're missing wide-open dudes.
Rob, it's totally fair. Yeah, Rob, thank you so much, Rob. It's totally fair what you're saying, Rob. And I'm, by the way, I'm not here to say that anybody needs to care about anybody's feelings. I'm telling you that we have a situation, at least through my eyes, that is starting to bubble. It is starting to bubble.
It percolates more if you lose on Monday, for certainly.
For sure. And yeah. I think that, as you're pointing out, this has probably been true beneath the surface for some time.
Yeah.
But now it's coming to the surface.
Well, and imagine, you know, in meetings where Kyle and the rest of the offensive staff is with Jimmy and the quarterbacks. It's like, Jimmy, how are you not seeing it? And, you know, Jimmy, you got to see it. And then Jimmy's probably like, yeah, you know, you're right. These are good points. And then you come out and it's first and 10 from your own two. And he runs the leak play where it's going to take some time and take some time. And it's like, that play call sucks. We all see it. But now for the first time, Jimmy Garoppolo is actually mouthing the words, your plays suck, man.
Yeah.
And it's, wow, Jimmy, I mean, you're actually starting to emote and share your true feelings.
I promised Brian Baldinger on Jimmy's decision-making. We have that in a moment. Your phone calls, those of you who are on hold, stay right there. Plus Steiny and Goo, all moments away. It is Willard and Dibs, all sponsored by Innova International on 95.7 The Game.
The Theta Chief. Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Who doesn't love potato chips? I mean, what are we doing here?
Right?
Right? Ridges or no?
Ridges.
Yeah, that's also a correct answer.
Man, thank you. Ruffles over Lay's. Lay's are good. I prefer the Ruffles with the Ridges.
And most underrated ad campaign of all time is the Ruffles Cajun guy. Ruffles got Ridges.
Oh,
yeah,
that
guy.
A little bit of Bochy in your
Cajun. Potato chips.
Totally.
Delicious.
Sour cream.
Sour cream and onion. And then we want a beer? No, no, no. Farhan. All right.
Far gone.
No, he's not. You stop.
Not yet.
888.
See how the rebuild goes.
957-9570. That's the number. Okay, I promised it. Here we go. Baldy, this morning. Bonte, Joe, Jimmy, Garoppolo. Does he make good decisions? Give it to me, B.
But, you know, it always falls on the quarterback. I mean, it's the reason why they're the highest paid people on the field. Quarterback has to make decisions. The offense has to move. You have to fix things. Like, even if the play isn't right, like, you've got to make it work. Your decision-making, your accuracy, what you do with the football in your hands is why we basically watch the game. I mean, if you get backup scrub quarterbacks, it's unwatchable football in this league. You know, I mean, so you saw it last night to a degree, you know, from the Giants. I mean, your quarterback running around scrambling is an offense. Like, you know, you might get first downs, but it's not an offense. The offense, the quarterback's job is to get the ball to your wide receivers. They're the second highest paid players. They're playmakers. You got to get the ball to them.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. And that's why, and if you miss JT O'Sullivan, you know, he added to this with regard to that safety. Was it a bad play call by Kyle Shanahan? Yeah, probably. We can go there. Kyle even said it himself. But does that mean that Jimmy gets to run out of the back of the end zone and be like, well, that was a terrible play call? No, you got to be a football player. You got to be an athlete. You got to have awareness.
Yeah.
You've got to adjust on the fly. Like, when does life not go wrong? Every day.
Yeah, and you have to be able to make those adjustments.
I mean, my gosh, you've got a little baby at home. You're ready for this. Anytime you tell anyone, I'm going to be somewhere at such and such a time, better be ready to adjust.
Yes.
Because you might not be.
Well, that's the thing. And I've always prided myself on being very prompt. And, you know, my older kids know that. Hey, let's meet for dinner at 6. They're there. I'll give you a 5-minute grace if they're there at 6:02. They're apologizing to dad. You know, it's just the thing that I've always held near and dear. But now, with the 4-week-old, if it's, hey, I'll be there at 4, and it's a 15-minute drive, you better leave at 3:30 because, you know, you get ready to put her in the car seat at 3:30, and, you know, you're one squinty eye away from an absolute storm out the backside. And then the mid-diaper change, storm number 2, now you need a new outfit. Now we're running late.
Brother.
So, dude, brother, you have no idea, Mark.
You will be there when you get there.
Pretty much.
That's when you're going to be there.
When Mila decides that we will leave after all of her movements, because when she moves, I move.
She's just like that. She's like Maverick in Top Gun. I will fire when I am damn good and ready.
Basically.
You got that?
That's.
Let's go to...
That's too accurate.
Let's go... Let's go to Austin in San Jose with Willard and Dibs. Hey, Austin, what are you doing?
Hey, fellas. Good morning. Sitting here having right before 11 a little lunch, man.
Out of bed. Right.
Hey, Willard, good comments today, man. I'm glad you brought to the forefront exactly what I think fans or nobody's been saying. This is dysfunction. I mean, in my mind, I'll just say it outright. I think that Shanahan mismanaged the whole Trey and Jimmy thing anyway, even before him getting hurt. I thought the whole thing was mishandled. I've always wondered about the veterans and what they thought about how Jimmy was handled, being exiled basically away from the team. And then all of a sudden now, Shanny needs him in order to win. Yeah, it's awkward. I'm not surprised that Jimmy's acting the way he is. Put yourself in this situation. Would you be comfortable? You know, this whole thing about mentoring and being nice to guys that are going to take your job. I've never bought that, Lowe. So I just wanted to get that out there, man.
No, I agree. Yes, put myself in Jimmy's position. Would I feel the way he probably does? Yep. And I probably would have gotten loud about it a long, long time ago. So that's what you get. Like, go back to Mike Silver's comments. Mike will join us Thursday. But Mike's article that's gotten so much talk with regard to whispers in the locker room that the team and the coaches weren't totally in concert with the idea of letting Trey Lance start. Go back to that. Okay, how do you fix that? I'll tell you how to fix it. Don't bring Jimmy back. Don't bring him back. And then you've got concert. That's why you don't bring him back.
But you've got concert and then he gets hurt and your season's over.
Right, right. I understand that.
And so that's why you bring him back.
That's how all the other NFL teams operate. They all do. If Tom gets hurt, they're done. If Aaron gets hurt, they're done. If Josh, if Pat, if Justin gets hurt, look at the Chargers last week. Even a compromised Herbert and the whole team crumbles.
But you had a situation where you have a guy who you've won with two out of every three games, and he had nowhere else to go. All you had to do was sit down and restructure and bring him back, and you had the ultimate insurance policy, and you needed that insurance policy.
I get it, and I'm not saying that I don't acknowledge that as a fan, I now believe the 49ers certainly have a better chance to save this season than Brock Purdy would. I acknowledge that. I'm just telling the 49ers the same thing I told them 3-4 weeks ago. Don't be surprised when this turns into a soap opera.
Yeah.
You can't be surprised.
You can't be surprised, but you have to deal with it. And you mentioned it the day after Trey Lance got hurt. Their Super Bowl odds went down. They became a more likely Super Bowl team when Trey Lance got hurt. And that's according to odds makers. I don't know if they're going back up.
Actually, yeah. Can we check that? I have not.
I'll punch it up.
Can anyone check that?
I would imagine they didn't go up dramatically if they went up at all.
Yeah, I'd be interested based on that Sunday Night Football performance. Meantime, Darren, next up on Willard and Dibs. Steiny Goo going to get in here in about 2-3 minutes. For those of you who especially love to go to Twitch and YouTube for that, get yourself all dialed up. Let's go. Hey, Darren, what are you doing?
Oh, how you doing? I'm a Garoppolo fan. I don't understand how people can say Garoppolo ain't a winner. The man is a winner. In 3 years, he went to 2 NFC championships, a Super Bowl. Since we had him, if we go back to Steve Young, we had a winner back then. All the other quarterbacks wasn't winning nothing. Trey Lance, when we drafted him last year, I seen the way he threw the ball. I said, I don't like him. I don't like him. He don't throw the ball right. And I was right about that. The man been winning. Kyle Shanahan blew that Super Bowl. It was 154 left. Why would you throw a bomb to Sanders when we on a 42-yard line with 2 timeouts? That's all he had to do to tell Jimmy Garoppolo, take what they give you. They was getting scared. Kansas City was panicking, moving around.
So, Darren, a few things. First of all, this is sort of the dynamic that now has suddenly been created in 3 weeks that I think the 49ers don't want, which is every fan of this team is now deciding, are you a Kyle guy or are you a Jimmy guy? You've now to now pick one in terms of who gets the credit and whose fault it is. I would be careful with the whole, hey, Kyle, why'd you call a long pass to Emmanuel Sanders? We never have any idea who called what. We do if it's a run play. We do if it's a screen pass at the 1 yard line. But if Jimmy just drops back, I don't know if option one was Emmanuel Sanders over the top in the Super Bowl. I have no idea.
Normally, your checkdowns aren't. You don't check down to the deep ball.
Not a check down, but like, who knows what Jimmy saw? The idea, what Kyle does want, what every coach wants, is a quarterback who can survey the field, look at multiple options, and then pick the best one,
make all the throws too.
Exactly, and then execute. So I have no idea what's going on there. Jimmy.
Niners, by the way, now 20-1.
What were they?
They were 16. They were 20-1, and then Trey Lance got hurt. They went down to 16-1.
And now?
Then they lost. It's back up to 20-1. So, and this is according to Jimmy Shapiro in the emails that he sends us every day.
Yeah. So, and of course, I mean, yes. Jimmy's a winner.
He's a winner.
He is. That's just a data fact. But this is now the conversation that's gotten started. You sort of have to pick a side on Kyle and Jimmy, which is exactly where the 49ers did not want to be at this time. The opposite of us, though, because we love our changeover segments. And here we go, Steiny and Coop.
We do, or yeah, you do?
Well, I do. Well, you don't?
No.
Oh, why?
Because I had a friend, and there's a friend I've had for a long time, okay. Matt Steinmetz, and I did him wrong yesterday. I was not aware of it being his birthday. And you know what? I should have reached out. I should have taken the high road. And I should know. I mean, Matt and I have been friends for damn near 20 years. And, you know, I was feeling bad about missing out on the birthday. Come to find out that my other friend, who I haven't known for quite as long, took me by the scruff of my neck, saw a bus passing by, and just threw me right into the path of that oncoming bus.
Who was that other friend?
Daryl Johnson. Daryl Demetrius Johnson III.
I did see your tweet.
Man.
It took me, I'm so used to calling you Goo now. Right. It took me 5 minutes. I'm like, why is Dan calling him D?
Wow.
Why? I go, oh, that's right. His name's Daryl.
But
I
the
forgot.
Video was so damning because I mentioned this. Like, and D should have known.
He called
right.
me Dibley, too.
Yeah, I was in there.
He's like, and Dibley should have known.
Even Dibley
didn't know.
And I kept replaying it like,
my
he's
phone
got
blew
me.
Up, yeah. Mark. I'm holding my baby girl. I'm trying to say
happy
goodbye.
Birthday to the man. Yeah. Oh, that's
happy
that.
Birthday one day
yeah.
late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steiny.
I'm trying to cradle my 4 week old, and all of a sudden my phone is how those tire tracks feel, Dibs. You know, how's that bus taste, Dibs? I'm like, wait, what? What the heck? Wait. And then come to find out, the brother from another mother, Daryl Johnson. I don't
have any stats for you because yesterday was a debacle with my favorites. I forgot that one. I'm going to make it up to you. But I got a bone to pick with you, too, and I told my man I gave him heads
up. Which one of us or both of us?
Both of you.
Okay.
In the morning, guys, too, my guys. Is this where we're at in sports?
Where we're at
saying Jimmy said something that we don't know what he technically
we
said.
We know what he said.
But Willard, if he said it into a mic after the game, I told Steiny, okay, it's on. But he didn't said it on the field and we're acting like
Who's going to say that? Who's going to say that into a microphone?
Oh, okay, well,
like no one
we're reacting like he did, though. Right? That's my thing.
I had this conversation.
It's good conversation.
Like, Dibs, we talked about this yesterday, that we get so many callers who go, like, I want these guys to have accountability, and if it's like they should go say, if Jimmy stinks, then they should say it. I'm like, you guys... You're not, like, are you asking Kyle Shanahan to go to a press conference and be like, well, I tell you what, we would have won the game, but our quarterback's not very good. Good night. Thank you. This is not how it works. They're not here to sell each other down the river in front of all of us. However, they do have egos, lives, and very, very rich jobs, and a lot of emotion goes into this. And that's kind of like saying, if we see two guys yelling at each other on a sideline.
Okay.
That's real.
Yeah. Mahomes and Bienemy.
Right. Okay. But they're not going to talk about it in a microphone after the game. They're going to say, look, emotional, football, it happens. And it does.
Yeah.
But do I know the full statement that Jimmy made? No. I do know this. The words, plays suck, man. That is done. He
do you
said
remember
that.
Kevin Durant and Draymond Green.
Oh, okay. He said that.
We did 2 months on that. And I jokingly at the time said, that's why I'm out here, man. But really, he probably said, that's why I'm out of here, man. And we all went through that. And that became the moment, the nadir, if you will, the low point of the breakup of Kevin Durant and the Warriors. And it's because we read his lips and we saw him say, that's why I'm out of here, man. So if Jimmy G is going to say, these plays suck, man, and he's going to say it to where we can read his lips, I'm sorry, that becomes a part of the unofficial record.
Steve Kerr.
I'm Draymond.
So bleeping sick of Draymond. And I love that Steve came to my microphone. He's like, well, yep. Yeah, no, I'm like, I'm not going to wiggle out of that one. So, look, I'm also, I think it's a thing because I pair it with what we heard Jimmy say.
Okay. He's the bucking teenager. Dibs, that's a five.
I get that.
But divorce papers were served. So we shouldn't be shocked.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.